So may I speak now in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, in some ways, the Ascension is the opposite of Christmas. Christmas, we celebrate the incarnation, that is, God becoming a human being, taking our nature upon himself. And at Ascension, we celebrate Christ ascending in the flesh into heaven, our nature taken into God. And the theological word for this, which mirrors incarnation, God coming down to us, us being taken up into God, is theosis. But this high-sounding and extraordinary truth seems to be a bit clouded for us by the really rather materialistic way in which it's described. There's all this stuff about kind of flying up to heaven. If you go to the Shrine of Our Lady of Walsingham in Norfolk, where many of us were at the weekend, you will find that there is a side chapel there which is dedicated in honour of the Ascension. And in this little side chapel, on the ceiling, which is not nearly as grand as the ceiling of St. Stephen Walbrook, there is a plaster cloud. And sticking out of the plaster cloud are a pair of plaster feet. And this is Christ going up to heaven. And we know famously that when he came back from his ascent into space, Yuri Gagarin famously said, "All I've been to heaven now, and all is not God." Which, of course, was to repeat the assertions of a Marxist materialistic philosophy. We know rather differently. We know that the physical and the material are intimately and profoundly linked. We can't reduce music to the vibration of sounds made by musical instruments. It's not just about wavelengths made by machinery. It's about something more profound than that. Any doctor, most HR directors, will tell you that the well-being of an individual is profoundly and intimately linked with what they eat and drink, with their physical fitness, with their physical environment. And this union of the spiritual and the physical is why the scriptures have so much to say about our physical activity as human beings. It's why we're given guidance about our feasting, about our fasting, about our sexual activity, about our work, about our rest. It's also why we think about our posture in worship. And don't worry, I'm not going to have a rant now, although I may have it another time, about how we've all given up kneeling for our prayers and have started to sit. The point is that it's really important how we use our bodies because of this link of the spiritual and the physical that we find in the world around us. And this is why, most profoundly and importantly, we are taught that we experience communion with God most clearly at that moment at which we eat and drink, when we take bread and wine. The Ascension teaches us that what it has meant to us to be an embodied human being is crucial to our eternal existence. And so we proclaim our faith in a few moments in the Creed in the resurrection of the body. It's not that the souls of the faithful departed rest in peace and rise in glory. Yeah, souls rest in peace. They don't actually rise in glory. What rises in glory is the body, is an embodied human being, although not one like we are now. Because right we are now, our embodiment is of only just one moment of our embodiment. And in the resurrection, we shall be everything that the unborn child that was me meant to me, that the baby that was me meant to me, that the youth that I was has meant to me, that the adult that I have become has meant to me, and that, if I'm given grace, the geriatric that I shall be will mean to me. All that will rise together in glory, for all those bodies that I have had and may have contribute to who I am. And in teaching us that our bodies are taken to heaven, the Ascension reminds us to consider carefully, therefore, all those physical aspects of our lives. And so, at the end of Eastertide, we're brought right back to the beginning of Lent, when we were first taught to have a long, hard look at how we live in this material world, how we make use of material things, and how we are to feast and fast amongst them. But the ascension also calls us to consider the equal importance of that which is intangible, that which is spiritual, and that which is heavenly. One of the seemingly very physical aspects of the description of the ascension is the cloud into which the Lord disappears. And we might think of that as being quite simply a simpleton's description of what it is to go up into the sky. There's clouds in the sky, Jesus goes up into the sky, therefore he goes into a cloud. But actually it's much deeper than that. Throughout the Old Testament, the presence of God is revealed by the Shechaniah, the cloud of the presence, the cloud that at once reveals and hides the one who is beyond our imagination, beyond the capacity of our imagination. The great mystics have spoken of this cloud of unknowing. Philosophers have understood that if God is truly God, he must be quite literally beyond our understanding, because if my tiny brain can comprehend God, then he can't be God. And to come close to God is to teeter on the edge of incomprehensibility. And as the old hymn puts it, no angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends his burning eye at mysteries so bright, revealed and hidden all at once by the cloud. And the cloud of the ascension calls us to contemplate that the heaven to which we ascend is the heaven to which he has gone before. Heaven is theosis, is man taken up into God, humanity brought into heaven, which causes us to expand our vision of heaven. If I say things like I do say, heaven must be a place, say I, heaven must be a place where they have dried fruit, because I like dried fruit. So therefore, for heaven to be heavenly, it must have dried fruit in it. No. Actually, heaven is not what I want. Heaven is what I am drawn up to be. Where I have thither ascended, where he has gone before, drawn up by him. It's an always deepening and expanding experience of the one knowledge of whom is never exhausted. It's a deepening, ever-growing love. I can't ever actually know how fully to love another human being, and I shall have all eternity in which ever more deeply and wonderfully to love God. Do you remember that famous image of St. Teresa of Avila in her mystic ecstasy, that carving? I was going to look up here. It may be Bernini, I think. But anyway, it's that extraordinary image of her. She's sort of lying there. And here is a physical body racked with all the pains and feelings of earth, a celibate who is extraordinarily sensual, even sexual, in her ecstasy because of a glory which she cannot see nor fully comprehend, but knows both as the most profound spiritual experience possible, which is worked out physically here and now. This is theosis. This is the breaking in on our day-to-day physical existence of all that which is most profoundly spiritual, and the two things becoming not two things but one. Not all of us are given such extraordinary mystical experience as St. Teresa of Avila, but we are given spiritual experience, and we're given it day to day in a very simple way, at a table with bread and wine. So to that table, let us now come. Amen.
Amen.